Hey, American Christian, here we are again. I've got Peter Cooper with me here.
Howdy, howdy.
I am Dr. David Nichols, and we are Heart of the Father Ministries, and we're coming with this podcast to bring truth, to bring power, to bring love, to bring mercy, to bring the revelation of God.
Hallelujah.
Into our world and into your ears, listener. So we're excited about that today because we're starting in on another whole new doctrine here today, I guess we could say, the doctrine of man.
Yeah, and what exactly is a doctrine?
A doctrine, well, it's a collection of teachings and Bible verses. And how to weave that all together. I mean, the Bible has 66 books.
Right.
Each of us has our lived years of experience under God, and all of that has to be woven together into a belief structure. I would say it's a belief structure.
That's good.
Of a certain topic, and today's topic is mankind.
Right. And you know what? We're not the only ministry church out there that has a doctrine of man, right? I mean, you start breaking
they
down
all
Catholic,
do.
Protestant, Hindu,
Presbyterian, Lutheran, you name it.
Everybody's got their idea and
the
their
Hindu,
doctrines,
the
right?
Muslims have one too.
Yes, they do.
They do.
So we're going to try to move together to, to formulate and to construct at a very basic level, listener, what does God say about man, and how was he created? Why was he created? What's his purpose?
How does God see man?
How
now,
does God...
long after all of that?
Wow.
We'll get there, but today we're just going to start with the beginnings,
Let's go to just the beginnings.
Yeah, in Genesis chapter 1.
Yeah.
Now, of course, listener, you already know, because you've been with us in the doctrine of God. God made everything that is. The world, the universe, and all of the birds and animals and everything. But God wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted something more.
Yes.
So the first answer to the question is, what is man, is something more.
Ooh, I like that.
You know,
that.
You
see yourself as something more.
Yeah, God, I mean, think of it. God had a lot of cool stuff here on Earth. I mean, he had horses, he had dinosaurs, he had, what do you have, almond trees. I mean, all this stuff he created, but he was like, I got to have me a man and a woman.
Yeah.
To fellowship with me, I think, basically, is what he wanted.
Right, yeah.
So, in chapter 1... Verse 26 of Genesis, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Okay, so that would be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Ooh, there you go.
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I think we should stop right there, Pete, because there's a...
You want to unpack that?
I want to talk about it in our present culture right now, because there's a whole movement in our culture that says, you know, this earth would be so much better off if there were no humans. Or there's one group that says if there are only about 200 million of them, and there are 7.7 billion of us right now.
Yeah, how do we reduce? How do we stop?
Well, we don't want to go there today, but
well, no.
I mean, they have some pretty draconian measures they'd like to take,
right?
But that whole understanding of the world is anti-God and anti-Christ.
Mm.
God doesn't want less people on the world; he wants more.
And Lord knows the world can handle it.
Oh my word! Yeah, and then we get to our famous illustration of that, right?
Right.
Like, if we took the whole population of the world, 7.7 billion people.
Right.
We gave each person, man, woman, and child, each person a 3-foot circle to stand in.
Right.
And we brought us all together in one place.
Right.
On the earth.
Yep.
How much land area would that occupy? And we ask people, and they go, oh, man. Like Texas,
Yeah.
Or maybe Mexico. Or, yeah, Alaska. It'd be cold up in Alaska.
Well, it would be.
But that's kind of what people think. And then we go, no. Then they start going down to some smaller places like maybe, you know.
Dallas.
No, like North Dakota or
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Still too big.
Yeah, still.
Rhode Island is too big.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Our smallest state.
We have three counties up in northern Minnesota, and you don't need all three.
Right.
Any one of them by itself could hold the population of the world.
That is so crazy.
We have 78 counties in the state of Minnesota, and three of them are big enough, not with all three, with one of those, each of those three could hold every human being.
Right. And it's just a basic math calculation.
It is. It's figuring it out on with a calculator, and there you go.
Right.
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 So the point is, the Earth is not overpopulated. The Earth needs better stewardship. The Earth needs better handling by mankind,
right.
Certainly.
Right.
But the Earth could sustain billions of more people.
Wow.
Not millions, billions.
Billions of more people.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Bill Gates, are you listening?
Bill Gates. Hey, the other thing that I wanted to mention too, I mean, you kind of spoke it a couple minutes ago when you think about all of this good stuff, but it wasn't enough, right?
Right.
And that there's also this view that we're all part of the planet and we're all equal. Animals are the same as humans.
Right. Those little lizards swimming in the water, they're your brothers, you know.
Right. And it's like, I am nothing. That kind of mentality. And who am I to impose my existence upon the existence of animals?
Yeah. And trees. And marsh grass.
Yeah. Think how long, and that perspective, Doc, has been on and in our ear ever since we were young men.
It's true.
It has been.
It was kind of new then.
Kind of new then.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, not that it wasn't ever taught by people, but as a very, very, very small position of earth worshipers, but... Most human beings through the thousands of years of history have been really into eating animals and taking dominion over the earth. And that's where we have to go with your issue here, because that's the words it's used.
Okay.
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, so... this dominion is not for the purpose of destruction or just wanton use. It's for stewardship. It's for survival in some cases. It's for meeting your needs by use of animals. God's given them and plants, plant life. And really, all the life that is under man on this earth is subservient to man and is here for our purposes. How about that?
I like that. Yeah,
I do too.
Not to just go out and destroy. And hey, I get that there are protected species. I'm not saying let's wipe out the bald eagles and who cares, right? Like there's, again, moving into...
Are you kidding
into,
me? And my where I live, there's as many bald eagles as crows.
Well, there well,
almost...
Yeah, but you know,
yeah, I know what you're
in the
saying.
Line of in the line of stewardship, right? But like, since when do birds have dominion over man? Or why do wolves have dominion over men? They have greater rights. Polar bears.
Oh, polar
in
bears.
In the state
bears
of Alaska,
yeah.
You cannot, even under threat,
even a Native American
cannot shoot a polar bear. Even under the threat of life.
And that is the loss of the dominion right
that
there.
It is the loss of the dominion.
To a different doctrine of man than the one we're going to be talking about here.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right, yeah. Okay,
all right.
So
here we go. So God was interested in giving us dominion. Now, I mean, now think about this. You think about mankind in a world with where polar bears live, where wolves live, where lions live, where tigers, where rhinoceroses. I mean, we still have dominion. Now, back in the early days, we had to be pretty careful about how we exit before the invention of gunpowder. You know, it was a little rough.
Right?
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we still had dominion then.
We do.
All right. So, verse 27. So God created man in his own image.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that right there is amazing.
Hmm.
This is the difference between man and every other part of creation. There's no other part of creation that is in the image of God. Not even angels are not in the image of God the way we are.
Right.
So God wanted something more. He wanted something special, and he made us. Being in God's image, I think we need to explore that a little bit, Pete. What can that mean except a created being, now mankind, that has deposited into it parts and pieces from an uncreated being, eternal being God, things like love, things like the ability to think and come up with imagination and creativity
reasoning.
And reasoning, all this kind of stuff that animals don't have.
Spirits.
Right. To have a spirit in us, a human spirit, a human soul, and a human body.
That has an eternal.
Right.
Eternal.
That will live forever. Once it has begun, it never will cease to exist.
Right. That's heavy.
Yeah, it
with
is.
With the talk of annihilism in these probably, I don't know how long.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this stuff, Doc, has been sitting under the surface for a long time.
You mean the false stuff?
Yeah, the false stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
The whole idea behind man isn't going, that he'll actually be destroyed. There is no hell.
Right.
There is no devil.
Right.
All of these things are all starting to surface now, and they're causing a fissure on the surface.
For people who are not grounded in the Word and in the Spirit, they are causing problems.
Oh, my word, they're causing problems.
Right. So the image of God, and notice in the second part of verse 27, the image of God includes male and female, both.
Yeah.
Now that's very important because very early on in the biblical story, because men and males were physically stronger and physically larger most of the time.
What?
They began to really hold down females and women and probably take a role against them that was never designed by God. Now, we'll talk about it later, the whole thing of the husband being the head of the wife, you know, and all that stuff. But at least from the creation, there is an acknowledgement that if you're going to express in humanity who God is, it takes a male, it takes a female. That's pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
It really is.
And they're both created in the image.
And there are things that males and females share alike. I mean, we all have a heart, we all have lungs, we all have brains, but then, and we won't be too graphic about this, but then there's stuff that each other doesn't have.
Right. Which has entered into the news stream as well.
Right. Exactly. So, so then to verse 28, then God blessed them.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's huge.
I know. I just saw that too. That really blasted me too.
Okay, he didn't just create them, throw them out. Hey, yeah. Have a good time. Yeah, you have dominion. Yeah. Learn how to use. There's a rhinoceros over there. Yeah. Take dominion over him. See what happens. You know.
And Adam, you have dominion.
You have the dominion.
And she will answer to you. No. That's not what happened. Not here.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. So he blessed them. They're blessed with the favor of heaven.
We've gotten away from the blessing.
In a way that no other part of creation is. Mankind is, was at least, in the beginning, blessed by God. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
That implies, as a male and female, fulfill your sexual function and have children.
Yeah, and the multiply and the fruitful part is placed on all of everything that the Lord made. He saw that it was good. He put it in the ground. He causes it to reproduce.
Right.
Trees and fruit and da-da-da-da-da, right? But here, there's a difference.
Right. There's several times earlier where God says, be fruitful and multiply. Like in verse 22, he says it to the sea creatures and the birds.
Right.
But when he says it to mankind, he says, fill the earth and subdue it. We haven't filled the earth yet, as we just illustrated.
Well, hey.
We're not even close. Sorry. Environmentalists, I'm sorry. But
man,
and our objective is not to cleanse the earth of mankind so it can be this pure, pristine little thing out here in the solar system. No, it's to get mankind so aligned with the kingdom of heaven and with this God who created us that we are actually the stewards of it that he called us to be and enjoying it.
Yeah.
Not worshiping it.
Right.
Right. So, fill the earth, subdue it, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Here it is again. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Wow. What a start.
Right.
For mankind.
Right.
And really, in those three short verses there, you have so much that stands that you have to just weave that into the fabric of your belief structure, listener, about who man is, who mankind is, who it was, what we were made to be. Now, we learn a little more detail if we go over into chapter 2 of Genesis, where at the early part of chapter 2, it tells about different things about the earth and the creation and so forth. But down in verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So we might have the question, okay, well, said male and female, now how did that come to be?
Right.
Here's a little more detail on that.
Right.
It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. In other words, complementary. In other words, similar in very many respects. In other words, of the same species, a human being.
Yeah.
One human being with another.
He doesn't create another man. A buddy system.
Ooh. It's not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. Sorry.
That's good. Mm. Yeah. And that would be a good one to say to your kids.
Mm.
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Right. So then what happens? Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. So it kind of recaps what we have in chapter 1.
Right.
And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Now that's pretty high capacity type of guy. I mean.
Well, yeah. You think about the creativity of Adam.
To name every living creature.
Yeah, the intellect.
Well, yeah, that looks like a hippo over there. I mean, dude. How would you know that?
I don't know. And you look at all the Latin names that you learned back in high school.
I mean, I wish he would have kind of gotten rid of right then was just flew over your head. It's called the box elder bug.
Oh, my gosh. You
know, oh, my word. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, the birds of the air, the beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. So in other words, very clearly in the biblical record, God made the man first, and he was there for a while by himself. Okay?
Yeah, it's an interesting right there, isn't it? Because verse 18 says, I will make him a helper comparable to him. So out of the ground the Lord formed every beast. But then, at the end of 20, he says, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him.
Nothing in the whole animal plant realm. So, verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place to ensure that this... the being and the creature that Adam was, that this new one would be the same thing. Isn't that something?
Hey, you know what? Why?
God just chose to do it that way. I don't think we can say why.
Are you a male or a female? Well. And then just, with an X-ray machine, it will show whether or not you have another rib or not.
Ooh. Ooh.
Is that true?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we all have the same number of ribs.
Okay.
All right. He slept and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he had made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, whoa, ho, ho, ho. No, I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
Wow.
You know what, like in between that, so he brought her to him. But what happened?
God brought her to him.
God brought her.
She didn't just say, hey.
Yeah. What was the conversation that was happening there when she wakes? And sees God, because Adam's not there.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, I got this dude over here. I want you to meet. I don't know.
Right. But it is. It's like, and he brought her to the man.
Right.
And I like that. It puts God's authorship.
This is God's idea.
Yeah, this is God's idea.
The whole thing, that mankind exists, that there's male and female, that it happened this way.
Yeah.
That the man was made first, but the man couldn't cut it without the woman, so he made the woman. Now here both of them are together. I mean, it's awesome, really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Brought her to the man. Then Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha because she was taken out of Ish. That's Hebrew, of course.
Right.
And it shows what the writer here is trying to get us to see is the similarity of man and woman in humanity. For all the differences you can talk about in the rest of the Bible and in the rest of history.
Right.
I mean, and it gets, there's good places and there's other places with this subject, right?
Right.
But here, it's showing us that it takes a man and a woman together to comprise the human species.
Yeah, there's that, and that there's something that's removed, in my eyes, there's something that's removed out of Adam and placed into Eve.
Mm.
Right? Did Adam contain all of these, some kind of traits, whatever it was, and then when God pulls that out, I'm using my hands now, God pulls that out of Adam and makes Eve. like in my brain, I'm like, so what does this look like?
Yeah, I don't know that we can know that, but what we can know is what he says. This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. In other words, she's the same as me, except for she's a female and I'm a male.
Right. And this isn't just locked into an Old Testament second chapter of Genesis kind of a thing. We see this in and throughout Scripture, right?
Right.
I mean, just the whole idea that there's differences between men and women. There are things that God can do and bring by the Spirit, like take Deborah, who's a warrior.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then you have Sarah, really, who is this barren woman all the days of her life until, boom, she conceives.
Right.
So.
At the age of 90.
Yeah. So.
Ladies, don't think about that. Just think about it quickly, not real long. Okay.
Right.
90.
Right.
She
right.
has Isaac.
Yeah, right. right. And this is, and I was kind of getting towards the New Testament side of things, which says, you know, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
Right.
Ephesians 5, 28 through 30 kind of goes into this. No one ever hated his own flesh. What? No one ever hated their... Well, welcome to 2022 if people do not like their own flesh. I want to be a woman. I want to be a man. I don't like what I have. I don't like how I'm put together. So these things start, like we were talking pre-show, the whole idea behind... If you do not get an understanding for this right here to build upon,
right,
you're in trouble.
But I ran into something this past weekend, Pete, that really helps with this whole discussion.
Tell me.
Because I too,
yes,
was once a man trapped in a woman's body, and then I was born, and here I am.
Ta-da! Thank you, Mama.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Okay. Right. But verse 24 here is so important, though, because this is where God really institutes marriage.
Yeah.
And reaffirms that sex is a very important part of marriage. And it's also very important because it's all before chapter 3, because there's certain people that want to say sex is the original sin, and that's what they did, and that, you know,
how
it wasn't the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground, blah blah blah, all that kind of junk.
What?
Oh yeah. So to know first these things are said is very important. So here it is, verse 24: therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. We're not going to be, might have children listening here, so we're going to take it easy on this. But what does that mean? They become one flesh.
Right.
They join to each other sexually. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Hallelujah.
So in other words, they were probably doing this act as male and female before the serpent came.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the most natural reading of the text. And it rules out the sex as original sin theory.
Yeah, I don't see how they roll into that.
Well, they...
Why? Well, why roll into that?
Well, there are reasons. We'll come to that in the doctrine of sin.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot to talk about everywhere, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. So, here you have mankind... God wanted more. He got more. He got himself first a man.
Yeah.
And then man named all the animals and all that. And then he brought Eve and gave her to Adam. And here's the two of them together.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And God does this. It's on a very personal level.
It is. And this creature that God made, and men and women now, it's very interesting. Because God, before all this, God had all kinds of created beings called angels.
Right.
He even had one that was in a very high exalted position of archangel named Lucifer, mm-hmm. who was did very, in fact, did wonderful things until the day, the scripture says, iniquity and rebellion were found in him.
Mm.
And so it seems like that for the angels, they too have freedom of choice whether they're going to follow God or not, but they only exercise it once.
Hmm.
That's how they're made. And once that choice is made, you've got the one-third that followed Lucifer, and you got the other two-thirds that are following God.
Right.
And they're locked in. Each in their place.
Isn't that something?
So then God says, I want something more. I want me a creature that has a whole lifetime of choices.
Oh, man.
Think about that.
I have thought about that. I am that man.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, human beings then can say, oh, yeah, I'll follow you, God. And then boom.
Yeah.
And then head off the other direction and follow the devil.
Yeah. I know.
But then somebody can show up and say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, wait, and you repent. What happens when you repent like that, Pete?
Man, you come into a fuller understanding.
And he would, what does he do?
Well, he brings you to become a new creature.
And he forgives you, and he puts you back in.
Hallelujah.
Angels cannot experience that.
Something more.
That's right.
Listener, you are something more.
And you are the beautiful creation of God. Each one of you listeners.
Yeah.
You really are.
Man wants to.
You may look in a mirror and say, well, I'm not. I mean, I looked in the mirror this morning, Pete, and I was like, you know what? I am the beautiful, good creation of God. Sometimes you got to do that with yourself.
That ain't so bad.
Speak the word.
I am made in the fullness, in the image of God.
Amen.
That doesn't go away.
It's never going
away. It doesn't subside. It doesn't wash out. It doesn't become something that negative. It's not elevated or escalated. You are made in the image of God from the day you were born.
In fact, Psalm 139 says that God was thinking about you before the earth existed.
Yeah.
Before heaven existed, God was making plans for you and for me.
Yeah.
Because people wonder, you know, like this back to the doctrine of God. Now, God had all this, what we call time. It wasn't even time yet because there weren't anything to measure it by, right? Like a sun and moon and stars and all that. So it's just, God's just there being God.
Yeah.
What's he doing all that through all that ancient eternity past? Thinking about you.
Billions of yous.
7.7 billion.
Well, that's
all
just
the
here.
Ones that have already
right
died.
Now.
I know. Think of history. Yeah, I know. And all who will ever yet be born yet.
Yeah.
That's how big God is. He's big enough for all of that. But he wanted a choosing, living male and female species called mankind. And here you are.
Amen.
Why don't you pray for the listeners, Pete? For that to sink in.
You know, this is, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to you, Lord, and to speak. And, Lord, to have conversation, Lord, that you have created each one of these listeners, Lord, in your own image. And, Lord, for that to sink in. As they move forward throughout the rest of this day, Lord, that they would identify, Lord, with you. Not with some other image that some corporation has laid down to be able to twist and to manipulate, but Lord, that they would see that they are made in your image. And Father, for those that are listening even right now, Lord, that they found themselves in this place and that they don't know you, for that man, for that woman right here, right now, know this. That you can come and say yes to God's Son, Jesus. And maybe you don't understand enough of that even right now.
But understand this, God has given you a choice to move away from things that are destructive and to move into a place where Doc had mentioned that that you have been given life and that he has put a blessing on you to prosper, for your mind to prosper, for your flesh to prosper, your body, your physical makeup. So, Father, thank you right now, Lord. And for those people that are even thinking of that, Father, we just ask right now that you would come into this place and we bow our heads to you, Lord. I do not know you, but I want to know you. So say this after me with a right heart set, which is repentant. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for I have not believed, Lord, what you have said is true in your word. Forgive me, God, for walking down my own path. And Lord, I accept this plan that you have for me. Lord, I accept your son Jesus, though I do not know him at this point, but I believe that you have a son. His name is Jesus. And that I want to know him. Come into my life. Show me who you are. And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.